You know, we're sitting here, you and I, like a couple of regular fellas. I mean, you do what you do, I do what I gotta do. And now that we've been face to face, if I'm there and I gotta put you away, I won't like it. But I'll tell you, if it's between you and some poor bastard whose wife you're gonna turn into a widow, brother, you are going down.
There's a flip side to that coin. What if you do got me boxed in and I gotta put you down? Because no matter what, you will not get my way. We've been face to face, but I will not hesitate. Not for a second.
This is a preview of Now Playing's bonus review of Heat.
Guy told me one time, don't let yourself get attached to anything you are not willing to walk out on in 30 seconds flat if you feel the heat around the corner.
Our spring 2018 donation drive is currently underway, and Arnie, Stewart, and Jacob are reviewing 11 movies where Al Pacino plays cops and mobsters.
Drop of a hat, these guys will rock and roll.
You can hear these reviews by donating to Now Playing.
It's that or we both better go do something else, pal.
It's your support that keeps Now Playing operating and putting out new shows without missing a single episode in over 7 years. That's over 400 weeks with a new free show every single Tuesday.
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best, trying to stop guys like me.
Find out details how to hear this full episode at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate.
Maybe that's the way it'll be, or who knows?
Well, maybe we'll never see each other again.
This week, donors of $35 or more will get this week's Heat podcast.
Well, you know, for me, the action is the juice. I'm in.
Here's a preview of that show.
Hell, I got some moves I can make here. Probably be a big help to you.
This podcast preview may contain harsh language and plot spoilers.
I'd get killed for telling you this shit.
Kill walking your doggy.
Listener discretion is advised.
When these guys walk out the door, of whatever score they're gonna take next, they're gonna have the surprise of a lifetime.
And I'll tell you what really feels straight out of Manhunter is Wayne Grow.
I don't understand why this subplot is in here.
No, it's stupid, right? I can only come up with the reason being when Wayne Grow is killed later on, we want everyone to know he's a bad dude. He's the worst dude there is. I said there's no bad, no good, just shades of gray. I'm wrong. Wayne Grow breaks that rule. Wayne Grow is pure evil.
He's not just killing hookers, they're underage hookers.
And not just that, but he's leaving semen in them. It's the 90s, dude. AIDS is everywhere. You're not wearing a rubber?
It's just the tooth fairy all over again. It's like he couldn't leave that alone. He was mad that not enough people went and saw Manhunter. So I'm just going to do it again. Apparently, he even wanted Ted Levine to play this role. He's like, no, I was already Buffalo Bill. I'm not going to do that again. I'll be in your movie, but I'm the cop this time.
I wonder if Tom Noonan was also approached with the same thing. Because Tom Noonan, who played the tooth fairy, is in this as the guy. He has a cameo role, basically, selling De Niro for $100,000, the plan to rob the bank. But when I saw Tom Noonan was in this, and I'm thinking about movies from this time, I'm thinking about Manhunter, I'm thinking about his role in Last Action Hero and all of it. I'm like, well, he's got to be Wayne Grow, right? I can't tell who's under that beard and stringy hair. I thought it was Ted Levine at first. But no, when Tom Noonan came out, I'm like, okay, that's Tom Noonan. But Wayne Grow could have been that role.
So let me just say what I'm feeling would help me love this movie more is if instead of having an obvious, completely total woman-hating monster that also undid the opening armored truck heist, that maybe someone's feelings about what they were going to do with the money and the woman back home caused them to mess up. And you could bring in this whole subtext much earlier and not have this goofy subplot where Pacino has to have a fight with his wife because he's off comforting hooker mothers. And it's bad. This is cop show B-level storyline and not A-list movie storyline.
And I'm siding with Pacino to a degree. I mean, he said in this movie, you knew when you married me, you'd be sharing me with my job. There have been a lot of tropes about cops who are never home and have to work all night.
Every cop movie.
I feel this one takes it a step further into exploring why. Normally, we just see the husband out like, I gotta get back to my wife. I gotta get back to my wife. And that's as far as it goes. Here, he never once thinks that. Middle of a dinner party. I have to go deal with the body. This is my job. And she wants to know about it. She wants him to share. And he gives her this ghastly story about dead babies that, no, you don't want to come home from work and still think about it. I have some days like that. Even podcast days. Sometimes I come home and Marjorie's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to relive what I just lived. Just let me roll with it. Don't make me share this trauma with you again. And that's what he's being asked to do.
And Justine is his third wife. Clearly, we don't have a whole lot of opportunity to sympathize with her, but we understand that this is going to be a problem for any relationship. A man like this is not going to be easy to wait for at home. You're going to have a lot of disappointing dinners where they show up late and don't want to acknowledge you. So really, the question to ask is, can a cop that is this loyal to his job really be loyal to anyone else?
I think the movie would be stronger if it could answer the question why Pacino's character has not adopted the same philosophy as De Niro's character, because obviously he sucks at relationships, so why hasn't he moved on, and is he still that romantic like Chris is, where he thinks he could find love? I don't ever get a real sense behind his psychology of why he keeps getting married when he really is married to his job and he keeps making that point. I do think it'd be stronger. Why doesn't he flee, you know, within 30 seconds like De Niro can?
You're absolutely right. I feel like a dramatist would make it more of a stretch that I would go to that extreme. I could never leave my family. I could never do that. Here, it's very obvious that Pacino, when they finally have the sit down, that he would absolutely understand where De Niro is coming from. I do get why people love this scene. It is the heart of the movie. It's the centerpiece of the movie. And it's a big lift to my spirits that makes me think about giving it a Green Arrow.
And it almost didn't happen. I remember this more than anything.
Yeah, this is the biggest piece of lore about this film.
He was one of the first commentaries I ever listened to, and I've referenced Heat so many times in Now Playing History when I've said you have to have a scene where the hero and the villain have dialogue and not just shoot out at the end. And that Michael Mann realized, oh, I don't have that. This was added in. And you can almost feel it, because what the hell is Pacino doing on that helicopter that night? It really does feel a little bumpy to get there.
I think that's a lie. I'll just go ahead and say, I think that's part of the myth-making of the behind the scenes is like, oh, well, the first cut of the film didn't even have it in. We went back and did it in pickups. No, this scene is exactly the same in the TV movie, almost down to the same lines of dialogue. It was designed to have it. I think that's Mann's way of saying, my actors are so awesome that I just had to create a space for them, when in fact, he always needed to do this scene.
But why would he lie and make himself look foolish on the commentary?
Because people do that all the time to sell a film.
Yeah, I know there was a big rumor that they weren't even on the set together, because the way it's shot, it's all just over the shoulder, is that they shot De Niro and Pacino's scenes at different times and then just edit it together. And I believe that story. And I was telling my wife about it. Then I found a thing on YouTube where they go, nope, that is not how it happened. We were both on the set.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one. I'd heard that it was added in later, but I didn't hear the not even on the set together like it was The Rock and Vin Diesel.
Yeah, no, it was rumor enough that at a Q&A, they had to dispel that myth.
Go watch the TV movies, all I can say. It comes at the same point. The same sentiments are expressed. Mann knew at some point that he wanted to have that scene. I don't know how he could forget when every other scene from that TV movie was in Heat that, oh yeah, I needed to add this. And I just don't buy that. Again, I think it's a way of making this moment mythical, as if it weren't enough, as if it weren't already this epic deal that these two guys that have never shared the same scene together, but have known each other throughout their careers and both now Oscar winners, known for tough Italian roles. This is just a sit down we want to see. And it is really well scripted. It is really good. I really am with the movie again because of the scene.
And it is the reason why De Niro took the job. I mean, this wasn't a pickup shot. This was something during the scripting stage he realized he needed. It's not like they would film the entire movie and edited it and went, oh shit, we never got them together. But it's still, yes, an amazing scene. I remember it is a breath of fresh air because at this point we are exactly midway through the movie and the first half, you want them to get to a job. You've had a little bit of it. They've done the scene where they started to do a job and one of the cops screwed up by making a noise and De Niro knew.
Yeah, some metal job that I never understood what the point of it was. They don't even bother explaining it.
Drill bits is actually what it is.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it actually was something that the real Neil did do before he was caught, was he wanted these diamond drill bits, and that's what they needed to get into the safe at the bank. But I don't know if Val Kilmer walks out with them. They say they don't have them. So again, another curious moment that I'm like, huh? Was that necessary? Couldn't we have cut this out?
It was just another job. It wasn't needed as a step for the bank. It was just more money.
Yeah, I think it's a nice moment of tension because there's a scene earlier that I love where you see the cops, they're spying on the group and they're pointing all in different directions and they realize, the cops, that, oh, they were just totally misleading us. Hannah realizes that. Again, this is a heist, a cops and robbers film. You still have to have those beats. And so, yeah, this is a nice moment of tension where De Niro realizes that the cops are on him and just tells everyone to walk.
I think what it is this entire movie is a taut string between De Niro and Pacino. And that's why you need this coffee scene and you need it when it comes, because this whole thing is tense between them, even though they're never sharing screen except for like this in the very end, because of the editing and the way the story is told, the fact that Ted Levine thinks he's getting the drop on the criminals, seeing them at the oil derricks, and then that Hannah is like, we all just got made, now they know, and we cut to De Niro up on top of the oil derrick taking telephoto lens photos of the cops. I honestly think Michael Mann is creating a symphony of tension here that plays me like a fiddle.
If you'd like to hear this entire episode, it's available to listeners who donate by August 31st, 2018.
Be there. You be there too.
This series is available along with retrospectives on The Godfather, Assault on Precinct 13, Jurassic World, Jaws, Deep Blue Sea, plus the Al Pacino Cops and Al Pacino Mobsters series. The more you donate, the more bonus podcasts you get to hear.
Look like gangbangers working the local 7-Eleven.
If you enjoy the show we do week after week, help keep us on the air. You can find a link to pledge by clicking the banner at the top of our website, nowplayingpodcast.com, or go to nowplayingpodcast.com/donate.
Don't waste my motherfucking time!
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
You lying to me. I can always tell when people lie to me.
I ain't lying. You a hot dog. A regular rodeo rider. And this was the monster fuck of my young life.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with the motion pictures reviewed or otherwise referred to herein. All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of the respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review and no infringement is intended.
I say what I mean, and I do what I say.
How admirable.
Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of Venganza Media Incorporated and may not be used without the expressed written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved. Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2018, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
They will walk away, and you will let them.